Belt Lore is brought to you by listeners like yourself. If you want to check out more stuff or give us a support, go to I'll start over.
It sounds like a fucking Alta Vista ad.
Gather round, friends, let me tell you a tale of three heroes, noble and bold. A brute, a druid, and a thief who is but 9 years old. You know them by name, you know them by deed. Their quests are famously daring. So here I sit, singing to you an adventure that is worth sharing.
Tuck is the brute, he knows not his home, he loves to sing and fight. Fingers half-elf, he shifts his shape and wields a spear with great might.
Billy's a thief, his tiny size does mask the largest heart. Best and brightest they may not be, but their friendship outweighs their smarts. So gather round, friends, and listen close, for the tale's about to start.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spout Lore. I'm your Game Master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me, as always, playing Tacoma Dome the Barbarian, Abdulaziz.
What's up, you miserable fucks?
Playing Ving, the half-elf druid, Paul Oppers.
Hey, I'm gonna talk again.
And playing Fat Billy, the halfling thief, Jessica Ty.
This is what the podcast is now, just Abdul. No one gets stuck now, just me. Get ready, this is gonna be the season that we lose all of our patrons.
Paul's
gone.
Paul left, great. Oh, Jessica's getting up too. She looks furious.
I don't want to. So tired of getting up and down every time Abdul takes over.
Jessica, you said we were going to walk out together when he takes over.
I gave her $2,000 to betray you.
Oh, that's God. All it took?
Actually, he gave me $1,000 to walk out.
Oh, what?
But
you guys are getting paid?
I didn't get paid at all. This is bullshit.
I've been withholding payment from Sean.
Come on.
All right, let's fix that intro so we don't lose a bunch of patrons.
Okay, hello everybody and welcome to Spout Lore. I'm your game master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me as always, playing Tacoma Dome the Barbarian, Abdulaziz.
What's up, you fucking fuckers?
I was wondering what was going to happen. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spout Lore. I'm your game master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me, as always, playing Tacoma Dome the Barbarian, Abdulaziz.
Hello, everybody.
Playing Ving the half-elf druid, Paul Oppers.
Hi.
And playing Fat Billy the halfling thief, Jessica Ty.
What's up? as aggressive as I'm going to get.
That's Jessica's attempt at taking over, is quietly saying, what's up?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Just My Podcast. With me, I got three of my best bros.
It's just your podcast, but we're still here.
Yeah.
And we're still your best bros.
Yeah. It's called Just My Best Bros.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
We should remember this for like a Patreon exclusive.
Just My Best Bros.
Yeah. When last we left our heroes, we joined them a week after, 6 to 9 days after the climactic battle under the Heart Tree.
Nice.
Recuperating, the party introduced you, the listener, to their new classes. And we saw how everyone had spent the last several days. In Ving's case, it was awkwardly trying to talk, but not talking with his father, Nathaniel.
Mm-hmm. AKA, you could just say talking to your dad.
That is generally talking to your dad. Mm-hmm. Coming to terms with his new connection to the land with the knowledge seed inside his very chest.
Mm-hmm.
Billy.
Pinchin' buns.
Billy had a little solo adventure in Heartwood City as they escaped the confines, and it mostly involved Billy stealing from bakeries and also helping Tuck recover, because Tuck spent most of that intervening time completely unconscious.
Totally unconscious. Dreaming terrible dreams.
Over and over.
Tacoma Dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tacoma Dome experience. Dreaming terrible dreams while unconscious.
Oh my God, I cannot wait until that's what we do with the Las Vegas Sphere.
When it's just a horrible dreamscape over and over?
It's just a terrible dreamscape if you want to come on in.
It's like a gravitron of terrible dreamscape.
You put a gravitron in the middle and then it's also a terrible
terrible dream scares.
Awesome.
It's therapy.
Yeah.
It's the most expensive therapeutic treatment in the world. In the course of Billy's ministrations, which involved dipping bandages in minestrone, it was chicken soup, but the pun was right in front of me.
Yeah.
Billy and Ving at some point removed Tuck's leather bracers, revealing beneath two intensely scarred rings of tissue. Billy, being the one to wrap those scars in bandages, didn't really click that anything was wrong, and Ving had them hidden from him. But then the crew talked a little bit about what to do next, and they mostly landed on the fact that it's time to handle the Gesh now that we know the man known as the Ranger King was not the Ranger King, but also wasn't known as the Ranger King. They might have a case for speaking to the Oval Council in Hibernia and breaking the Gesh altogether.
Also, Dathaniel said that he would just turn himself in.
Yeah, and on speaking about this with Dathaniel, Dathaniel said, yeah, let's do it, let's go. I will tell them that it's my fault, and I'll just throw myself at their mercy to clear you, my son, of your obligations.
Mm-hmm.
The party decided to, after some gossiping and trying to spy on Ving and his dad,
we spent so much time in the walls.
A lot of time in the walls, a lot of the time peering through paintings as we gave Morris and Perel new nicknames, shared nicknames in the form of the Gossip Girls.
Turns out this entire palace is just for hearing whispers.
Yeah, more or less. Tuck went to go speak to Nathaniel alone in his recuperation chamber / personal gym, destroying all of Nathaniel's finely tuned workout equipment.
Uh-huh.
And becoming flustered with him sexually.
Or just his energy was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And they had a conversation in which Nathaniel actually gave up quite a lot of info.
What? What was it?
Have you spoken to the Gibbous Man? Do you know his plans? And he said, yeah, I made a deal with the Gibbous Man.
Right.
And was betrayed.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost like I wasn't there.
Yeah, because Tuck was staring at Nathaniel's full plump lips the whole time. The last thing that happened in that conversation was Nathaniel saying, my son will follow you anywhere, but if you're going up against the Gibbous Man, go alone. Mm. To which Tuck replied, that's the plan. The party then went and spoke to Walt Wick.
Oh, yeah.
The owner of the ranch that they'd been hiding out at for a period of time, and became so enamored with this crazy character that they forgot to ask him any real questions.
Sean bamboozled us.
Because I enjoyed doing this voice so much that I forgot to say anything important. And then the Thunderbird Uber that Ving had called arrived in the form of Gale.
No.
The party drew
one star review.
Yeah.
One star, talks too much. The party then drew straws to see who had to ride with Gale.
Billy forgot how to play draw straws, yep, and he gave himself the shortest straw.
Yep. And then Ving very graciously offered to ride with Gale, climbing aboard her back with the fanny pack around his waist, his family safely ensconced within. Gale took to the skies.
And you see Ving put in earplugs.
Cotton wool.
Whoa, yeah. So smart.
Yeah.
From the alpacas.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. These will come in handy.
Yeah.
And the camera cuts to Walt closely examining one of his alpacas and going, somebody took some of my wool.
an elf's ears worth.
Two canals worth of wool.
The government.
The government.
They're trying to tax me. They're taxing my wool.
Time to reset all the traps.
Welcome to this episode of Walt Sets Traps.
Oh, yes.
Right, just Walt.
Yeah. All right, just going to roll a Defy Danger to set this trap. Okay. Going to roll a Defy Danger to set this trap. Okay. Okay.
Is your trap here and what activates it? The goddamn government's what activates it.
But that is where we find our heroes now. Or hero, Ving, on the back of Gale, ripping through the skies, being windswept, blown by the wind, hunkered low, because Hibernia is quite far away.
Yeah.
But Thunderbirds are exceptionally fast, so you are absolutely hauling.
As they're going through the winds, there's different birds trailing in the wisps behind Gale.
Oh,
as she passes through clouds, the cloud coalesces into different shapes of birds, a crane, ooh, a swan, a flock
oh,
of geese,
cool,
owls, eagles, all the different spirits of the birds are flying with us, passing through the clouds.
That's you that's doing that? Like your effect yeah, on the environment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's so sick. And while this beautiful scene unfolds around you, Gail's like, so he was in a couple plays, and one of them was about like a guy that owned a restaurant, but was really abrasive. And the other one was about a guy who had mental problems and was in a little thing, and he met a lady and fell off. But I can't remember his name.
It's Chethane Hanks.
I don't think that's what it is. If it was Chethane Hanks, I think I'd remember.
It's Chethane Hanks.
I don't know. The flight continues. Inside the fanny pack, what do we find?
We're playing Sorry.
Yeah.
And how is Sorry played in this world?
We sit around in a circle and we tell each other stuff that we did that we didn't tell each other about before. and then you have to say sorry, and then maybe it'll be accepted or not.
This is a game, it sounds like, that Tuck and Ving devised to get Billy to tell the truth.
To admit to things. Yeah.
So it is Billy's turn.
Okay. So when I said that I was stealing buttons.
Yes.
I stole some other stuff too.
What did you steal?
Billy takes out one of his bags of buns and he starts opening up the buns and there's the acorns from the acorn library. And I'm like, they just seem so fun to look at.
Billy, are these the books from the conery?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Don't take them, though. They're mine. I took them fair and square.
Perel's looking around like, are these important?
You have to tell him what you did.
Okay, so part of the game is I have to tell everyone what I did. So the Heart Tree has a library that's kind of like the Mergani library, except even older. And these are the books, and I took some of the books.
Billy, they're books. You're supposed to steal them.
Thank you.
And Perel reaches over and reaches for a pine cone, and Billy grabs his hand.
Oh, no. It's not on camera.
That's funny. I reached out to take an imaginary pine cone, and Jessica reached out to hold
slowly,
my hand.
Yeah, that's very cute.
But he, thank you. And he kind of awkwardly shakes your hand. It's okay, Billy.
Tuck, I'm sorry.
I accept your apology.
Yes.
And then Tuck puts like 3 marbles in the jar.
Yes, I'm winning.
Yeah. And then
there's 4 jars. Everyone's got a jar in front of them.
Yeah, everyone.
Yeah.
Victor is there.
Victor sees the marbles going and goes, okay, I also have thing to say. I also have secret to reveal.
I made friend with a deer, but then I ate it. I am sorry.
You know, everyone was wonder what happened to their slippers. Well, his easy answer is they are gone. Hard answer is they will come back. May I have marble, please?
Well, you missed one part of that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I forgive you. Ugh.
And then he's your dog. So
okay, so.
That's what Tuck says to Billy. He's your dog.
He is my dog. So I give him 3 marbles.
Yes.
My marbles are almost as tall as yours.
Not quite, though. I'm going to beat you, Victor. I make so many mistakes. I have even more things to apologize for.
Our game of sorry is really backfired. We created this game to get him to admit what he's done, but now he's doing bad things. So
I know.
It's like that dog in France that got a steak for saving a kid from the Seine. So he started grabbing kids and pushing them into the river.
Is that real?
That is so real.
Funny.
Oh my God.
And we cut back out to Ving on Gale's back.
Mm-hmm.
Cloudpiercer sends his regards, by the way.
Thank you.
The war is going not great.
No?
No. Thronebreaker still gathers his strength, and we're pretty worried that he is becoming too powerful.
Is there anything we can do to help the war? Can I spell lore about this? Is there anything that we can do? I mean,
We could do like a discern realities if you wanted questions on the, or wanted to examine the situation.
Cool. Yeah, that's like a discern realities for what's going on.
Super sick.
Okay, 2d6 plus wisdom. Nice.
Plus wisdom.
12.
Holy shit.
So you get 3 questions.
What should I be on the lookout for?
Great question.
Can I use Eye of the Tiger and see through Gale's eyes of one of the most recent battles?
Yeah, sure. That's a cool way to do it. So you use Eye of the Tiger and your spiritual skill to see recent events through the eyes of Gale.
I like that Vink closes his eyes and then opens his eyes.
Oh.
First he was like looking at Gale, and then he opens his eyes and he's looking through Gale.
Ooh.
As a piece of ice cuts her cheek as she's flying fast through a battle in the sky.
Oh, yeah. So razor sharp shards of ice whip through the air in great gouts of glittering blades.
Mm-hmm.
Birds wheel and spin through the storm, tearing at each other. For someone such as yourself, it's difficult to tell the forces of the storm from the forces of the sky. But the one thing that it is not difficult to discern is Thronebreaker, the great, powerful king of birds. His massive bulk, his snow-white feathers, reflecting the light of the storm. And in the center of his head, where once there was a shattered stone, thanks to your dear friend and ally, Tacoma Dome, there is now a glittering piece of obsidian.
Whoa. What here is not what it appears to be?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a great question. So yeah, the what here is not what it appears to be is you think that this is just a storm that is whipped up by Thunderbirds naturally during their battles, but you see that it is, even just through the currents, through Gale's eyes, you can see the natural and unnatural currents in the air and see that this storm is connected to Lillian's storm, to the storms in the Sea of Graves, and to similar storms around the world.
Hmm. What's about to happen?
I think that what you see is as what is about to happen, it is answered both in the past and in the present. As you see Thronebreaker and his flock,
his murder,
begin winning.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
They are, if not striking down birds, scattering them to the winds.
Mm.
And you see that in the moment, Thronebreaker won the battle, and in time, he may well win the war.
Oh, no.
And you're back on Gale's back in the clouds.
Oh, no. They need a break. They need to, like, a truce or something. How long will you fight? Why do you keep fighting?
We have to. If we don't, the storms may consume the globe, and there will be nowhere for us to roost. It is Shathan Hanks. You're absolutely right. It is Shathan Hanks.
I told you it was Shathan Hanks. He won a gosh. He won an EGOT for that. I know it was Shathan.
I'm so sorry I doubted you.
Let's go back inside for a sec.
I also want to say that when Turkey went missing was not me, but when Garbage with Turkey went missing was me. And I am sorry.
I feel like you're not really sorry about that.
I didn't believe
that one. I have to mean it as well as say it. That is not the rules.
There's so many marbles in his chart.
But everybody's starting to cotton to the fact that he doesn't actually feel sorry about this stuff.
That's like the number one rule of the game is you have to actually be sorry.
Is it actually a rule?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a rule.
It's written right here. I can't read it, but that's what it says.
I can't read it either.
They're looking at a takeout menu. that we just gave Billy, and we're like, these are the rules of sorry. What can we say?
No, if those are the rules, it is not honorable to overcome lessers by cheating. Remove my marbles.
Okay, then.
Remove them!
Then I dump it all out.
No!
I'm so sorry, Victor.
He howls.
Don't worry, we're gonna land and then you can look at the moon.
I will never go to all-day breakfast again.
No, don't say that, Victor.
I don't want to be here anymore.
And he runs.
Victor, no!
So floppy running for the wolf.
Yeah, he's doing that like overly emotional dog run where his legs kick all over the place.
I wonder if like Victor, as he is becoming domesticated by Billy, it's having a physical effect on him as well.
I think actually what you've noticed is that he's becoming slightly easier to see.
Oh, cool.
Like he's not as invisible as he once was when you met him.
I like that his ears are floppier than ever too.
His ears don't stand up anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Vang, pawn Gale's back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's like Thunderbirds, as we've said, fast as hell. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's like half a day, three quarters of a day of flying at like near supersonic speeds. Ving is just clutched to the back of Gale as she hauls ass.
Wish Walter gave me that fucking vest. It's freezing up here.
After a while, you realize that you are surrounded by like a thick gray fog.
Whoa.
You have entered the gray. Gale begins to descend through the fog, her extra sensitive Thunderbird senses for currents and navigation taking her unerringly towards land. And before you suddenly resolves rocks, stone, salt water, tall pine trees, the island of Hibernia. And the wind starts whipping up around her just as she descends. And you can see people like step out of their homes and like cover their eyes as the wind blows at them. Mm. And now we're going to roll a move we've never once used called Outstanding Warrants.
Sick.
When you return to a civilized place in which you've caused trouble before, roll plus charisma.
Okay, here we go. 12.
Holy shit. Is that just a normal? It is.
Natch.
Nat 12.
Nat 12.
Oh. Fuck me. Okay.
I'm coming in hard with charisma.
Yeah, it's because you're on the back of a massive, majestic bird.
And it comes out like a flock of Thunderbirds, but the other Thunderbirds like fade out of gray mist.
Oh, yeah.
Like your spiritual mastery is like telegraphed.
Yeah. Like Gale comes cruising in, and as she like dips up to slow herself down, her wings spread and the rest of the Thunderbirds dissolve.
Oh, I love it.
So they've where is Gale landing? Just on the beach?
I mean somewhere really cool. Like on the cliff by that Arbutus knowledge tree.
Oh, like right at the council's.
Yes, like just get land there.
Yeah, right at the council stone. Boom. Gale, her talons grip deep into the stone. And on a 10 plus, word has spread of your deeds and everyone recognizes you.
Ooh.
So maybe not good.
Oh. It's hard to say.
But maybe it's good because they love the knowledge tree.
Right.
So maybe we've righted a wrong.
I think the council has definitely heard.
Okay.
As is evidenced by the fact that people are emerging from the woods on the edge of the council stone.
Okay.
Druids upon druids, led by Grimshay, leader of the Deep Striders and head of the Oval Council. What is the meaning of this?
Gale, tell them why we're here.
I come bearing Ving, the druid, son of, God.
Ranger King.
The Ranger King. And also, I think, a druid. Like, his mom is a druid, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
I am Gale.
That's right.
Nice to meet you. Big fan of everything you're doing down here on this island. Bing, do you want to take this away at any point? I am here as a representative of...
Billy's in the bag going... The birds!
The Thunderbirds!
The birds, Gale?
Yes, I am a Thunderbird, as you can see. And we, as allies of Ving and his allies, are here to show our support for whatever is going on. I didn't really get the whole idea, but I am here.
This is
so look out.
This is like you had to do a court appearance and you brought your Uber driver in to defend you.
Being the lawyer?
Ving jumps down. He's like, yes, the Thunderbirds have helped us and have brought us here. And in return, I ask that you help them. They are interlocked in a battle bigger than all. You help them.
What?
Has Ving forgot what we're here for?
Yes, I am Ving Bang Zumba, Knee Zumba. I am La Ringa Vinga. I am.
That is not the name.
I am Ving La Ringa. I am
La Rongar
Vinga.
And a figure pushes their way to the front of the crowd, dripping in seawater, draped in kelp, stone eye.
Uh-oh.
You are in no position to demand of us, Geshbearer.
Geshbearer, no more. Dumps out the fanny pack.
Dumps out?
Yeah.
So, I guess Dathaniel comes tumbling out of the fanny pack.
Do we all about?
Does everybody fall out?
That's what I was hoping for.
What if it was like the gossip? We were doing the gossip thing.
Oh, so you were all leaned against? All
To inside and we're like, what does he say? Is he saying his name or is he?
No,
did he forget his own name? He said it like four times.
Him and I talked about this. I'm supposed to be here so that I can go before the council. You guys really, you shouldn't be here right now. You shouldn't. And you are all dumped out.
Just stay really still. I'm like, maybe they didn't notice that also came out.
Morris and Perel are also splayed out on the stone.
There's a bunch of marbles skid around too.
Oh yeah, Billy was gonna lay still, but his marbles went everywhere. He's like, oh, my marbles.
I feel like when the druids see Billy scrabbling around for marbles, they like shy back because they're terrified of him.
Boy.
I think a couple of them like instinctually go, oh, marbles, and try and stop them. But then they're like, wait, who's this?
And when Billy sees them go near his marbles, he goes, back off.
They do. They absolutely do. And as Nathaniel raises himself to a knee with his blackthorn,
Ving helps him up.
And the crowd goes, and Grimshay steps forward. You bring this man to our shores?
I bring you the shadow of the man known as the Ranger King. This is the man you thought you needed to bring down.
Hmm.
This man will not die.
Hmm.
And if that means you have to kill me, and then Ving opens up his fur.
Oh.
And then opens up the chest and takes out the seed. Then you kill everything that you have ever known.
And then Tuck sidles over to Ving really quick, and he just grabs, he's like, can I talk to you for a second? And then
hold on a second. I will die along with me all of your knowledge.
And Tuck's like,
and if I die, I'll kill them too.
I need to talk to you.
Hold on. I put the seed back in my chest.
He's like, hey,
I'm kind of awkwardly trying to do a thing here. I don't really know. Do you have any tip?
Didn't we fucking come here so your dad could give himself up so you didn't have to die? Why are you sacrificing yourself for him?
Okay, hold on. That's good. I'll use that. Take this gesh and shove it. Here's my dad. Kill him if you want. He looks at Tuck and gives him a finger gun.
What the fuck are you doing?
The council is all looking at each other like,
guys, I'm really good at podcasts.
It's so good.
Welcome to
it.
Ving and others.
And Nathaniel, who's been standing there like holding his walking stick with both hands while you say these things, just puts a hand on your shoulder and takes a weak step forward towards the council. Goes, I would speak with you alone. And they all look at one another, the council, and then back to all of you, and Grimshay nods. Very well. And there's sort of an unspoken, like, get out of here vibe.
Well, I'm not done picking up my marbles.
After you
dunk?
After you pick up your help the boy pick up his marbles. And the rest of the druids run forward and start putting marbles in the jar. Do you leave or do you stay?
I stay.
Yeah, I want to stay and hear what the fuck this is.
Yeah. So the non-council druids are ushered away.
Mm.
And you all just stand your ground?
Yes.
Yeah.
We shall attend this council.
And Morris and Perel kind of look at you guys and they're like, we're going to go back in the bag, actually. That's cool with you. Just going to hop in that bag real quick. Just going to hop in the bag real quick. If you could just open the bag real quick so we can hop in it.
Doug opens up the bag.
They hop in the bag real quick.
He folds it up and he puts it in his little backpack.
And all you can see, Stone Eye especially sees you do that. Sees like this magic bag with these two dudes climbing into it and it's like spits on the ground.
And then Tuck also spits on the ground.
Oh, he's boiling already. He fucking hates Tuck so much. He takes like a, he does a deep like breath out of his nose and like salt spray comes out like a fucking walrus.
Tuck does it too, and a bunch of snot goes into his beard. And then Tuck wiggles his eyebrows at Stone Eye.
He turns away.
Do I know you?
Have we met?
You look so familiar. I swear to God. Have you ever spent time in McCall?
His face is beet red. He's so mad. And Grimshay holds up his hand and is like, Stone Eye, you will comport yourself as a member of this council or you will take leave of it.
Oh, Stone Eyes. Cool.
Stone Eyes.
I love your thing, dude. Well, you were so good when you were a whale.
Enough. We are here to discuss the matter of this gesh.
All right, are you going to remove it or not? Just do your thing.
Why should we?
Because you want us, for the crimes that my family did to your people, and for returning to your island, breaking the sacred oath, you wanted me to rid you of the darkness that is the Ranger King. The man that was known as the Ranger King. Well, that was no man. That was the Gibbous Man. A god.
You expect to come to this council and spin tales and yarns? That is how you think you will get out of this ancient oath that you have sworn? The deal was blood for blood. His or yours?
There was no talk of blood in the oath. It was to kill the man known as the Ranger King. Your oath was broken when you made it. He was no man. This is the Ranger King.
Oh,
fucking
shit.
Good line, dude.
That's sick. That's good. What Tuck says.
He tries to high five Stone Eye. So when he accidentally high five Tuck.
No, I didn't do that. And you tricked me, you fuck.
You try to high five Stone Eye, and from his cross arm pose, you hear a bunch of joints pop as his whole body tenses up.
Trying not to beat me up.
Yeah. You're going to have to roll some stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But this is a good angle to take.
Oh, yeah, okay. What's the roll here?
So that is going to be a Defy Danger Charisma.
Great. Come on, bone dice. 8.
Okay, 7 to 9. Stone Eye is fuming as always. You can see, like, steam rising off his body. The seawater is, like, basically boiling in contact with his skin at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But Hidara Maneater especially is, like, baring his teeth. He's furious that you'd even suggest that you can get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But Grimshay holds up a hand to the rest of the council as they bristle. We'll hear what you say, but just know that if we are not convinced, on both your heads be it.
I agree. He looks at Tuck, and he looks at Billy.
I think Tuck is going to let this play out. And if it goes wrong, he's just going to kill everybody. That's his plan.
That's and Ving is thinking that exact thought.
The party's already doing that thing where they kind of subtly spread out a little bit, just in case.
Totally.
Can I share Dick Dathaniel's memory?
Yeah, I think you could probably find a way to do that.
Well, I just hand over my ring to Grimshay.
He holds it in his hand.
You got to put it on to see.
This is not a fairy trick.
Billy just smiles at him.
He rolls his eyes a little bit, puts it on his finger.
Can we give the other one to Stone Eye?
Stone Eye will not accept. I will tell you that much. You hold out your hand to Stone Eye, and he crosses his arms even harder.
And yeah, Tuck's like, are your fingers as big as mine? Could you wear my ring? Are they littler?
Push me no further.
Okay, dude. Some people have small hands. But.
I mean, if your hands are really small, you could just wear mine.
I feel Stone Eye's frustration.
Because
it's interesting because my instinct is like he leaves, but he can't leave.
Yeah,
he doesn't
want to
lose face in front of the
like
council.
That.
Yeah.
And he also can't just hit you, but he really wants to.
Who else will take this ring? Who among you will soften even a little to see the truth? Who will take the dare along with Grimshay?
Oh, yeah, I like that. Mm. Tuck goes, who's brave enough to know the truth?
Oh.
The truth of what the world is now.
Noreen.
And
oh.
Well, yeah. No, yeah. Yeah.
She moves forward and then Tuck goes, wait.
I'm not done.
And what it will become.
Noreen.
If you don't.
Takes another step.
Oh. Learn the truth.
She steps
forward. For the veil has been upon your eyes, your heavy brow, for an eye on these neon ions. An eye on these many eons.
Look to the sky, Tuck says.
And or it shall be revealed.
The veil
and you look,
shall be lifted.
You look to the sky and see a wall of dense gray fog.
Exactly.
For now.
The veil has been pulled upon your eyes. Allow us to remove it.
And Noreen, leader of the Silent Step Clade, with her graceful antlers, places the ring on her finger.
We show them what we saw in the blood that day.
I feel like it's a series of flashbacks.
Yeah, maybe we get even somehow. Maybe it's Ving's contemplation. Maybe it's his bias. Maybe it's the druidic knowledge. Maybe it's the tree itself having observed these events.
Oh, right. But we see chest.
We see slightly more than we did that day.
Oh,
yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Like what? Let's hear it.
No, you guys are going to tell me.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah.
Okay.
But,
right.
cool. But I'm trusting you not to just blow the whole thing.
Okay.
How so?
If we have any revelations, keep them reasonable. Don't be like the gibbous man pulls off his mask and it's chimes or some shit. You know what I mean?
Well, oh,
I
don't say saying. Cool stuff like that and then why not?
That would be just for real. If Sean did that, you would be so mad. You would be so mad.
I would be very betrayed.
Be so
like, I thought chimes was like cool, like our dad. Our dad betrayed us?
Okay, so what we do see
is see daddy.
Sorry. Daddy.
Paul.
The first memory is Nathaniel and Ileana standing under the tree, her in the auburn robes of the gardener and him in his uniform and them unifying in their love and their common goal.
Hell yeah.
And they're talking about how to save the tree of knowledge.
And we cut forward to Abdul.
Then we see him getting a decree from the court. Someone within the court soured everyone on Ileana and Nathaniel getting an order to kill her.
Right.
And Ving. And then instead of killing her secreting them through the woods to get them out of there.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like you can see he personally shepherds them out of the forest. Like it's a very difficult goodbye.
Yeah. Jessica.
I guess the thing that they see is when Nathaniel does kill Ileana, they see it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, and we see a moment that we didn't see in the Gibbous Man's revelation of Nathaniel holding Ileana in her human form and them locking eyes with the understanding that this was not how it was supposed to go.
And we see Nathaniel trying to kill himself after that on the beach.
Yeah, walking towards the druids with just, shot, kill.
Yeah.
Stone Eye hurling the rock from the back lines. What's the last thing that we see?
We see the deal that he made.
Yeah, I was going to say the deal, but some moment of that deal. Yeah.
Oh, right. Because, that is... He basically just said that the Gibbous Man, though he did not know who it was, offered him information that would allow him to further his goals, or so he thought, which is what led him beneath the tree.
And maybe in this vision, because it's mediated through Ving's spiritual connection, we see the true form of the Gibbous Man, not the thing he was disguising himself as.
Well, that's the black hole?
Yeah. Person? Like the shattered aspect of night that he appears as when Ving can see him in a way where he's not being affected by the disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a shattered black hole? And then from it are these almost broken glass that comes out darkness and then tendrils of almost mist that flows out.
Yes.
Of the night.
100%.
Yeah.
All of the light.
Kind of spidery.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I love that. I like that also, like, all the light that he does soak in his true aspect comes out like webs.
Yes.
There's, yeah, like, white tendrils and black tendrils.
Oh, that's so cool.
Like, the off-gassing of the, what do they ever, they call that in a black hole, the radiation that comes, like, things are still coming out.
Oh, the Hawking radiation.
The Hawking radiation.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I always forget you're a scientist. It's so sick. Yeah, and it's like the webs, like, they stretch with him wherever he goes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
His face is almost like a shattered piece of glass. There's times when the light catches it and it's got like a million eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And each of the eyes has a projection out to somewhere in the world. Like,
and they all blink at once.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I think upon seeing that true aspect of the Gibbous Man for a moment, like Grimshay and Noreen gasp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his head bows. And then as it comes up, like underneath a ranger's cap. And he's like in the middle of a court somewhere, telling the Rangers what to do and orchestrating all the stuff as him in disguise as Nathaniel.
Yeah.
And then you see Nathaniel like under the tree getting absolutely like
Jesus-ed.
Milked by the tree. this is what Tuck says. And he was getting absolutely milked by that tree.
And I think that's the last vision that we see.
They had been sucking my dad dry for 150 years.
Yeah. And so it was that Nathaniel was sucked so dry and his taint went all over the place.
Jesus Christ.
Everywhere.
And we are back in the real world as Grimshay and Noreen take the ring. Grimshay takes his ring off very quickly. Kind of almost tosses it back.
Big like catches it.
Scared.
And Noreen seems far away as she slowly removes hers and holds it out.
Give it to Billy. Give it to Tuck.
And Grimshay looks at Nathaniel. And Nathaniel has... He, again, looks like he is about to collapse under the weight of his own body.
But he's really doing it like a good job.
Yeah, you can see, if you're close to him, you can see that he's like shaking with the effort of standing upright.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathaniel looks at Grimshay, and though he wasn't wearing a ring, it's clear what he's been shown. And he says, "It's all true. Though I didn't mean to, I struck the blow that felled Illyana. If you must kill me for that, at least let my son go." And the Grimshay is silent. I think it like it's clear to you that he is shaken by having seen the Gibbous Man's true form.
And Billy walks up to him and beckons him to come down.
He kneels.
"Do you remember the story of Spider?"
"Of course."
"Do you all remember?"
And the members of the council nod.
"The Gibbous Man is Spider.
What?
And the stars up in the sky that we used to read, he covered them. The storms that cut you off from the rest of the world, those are because of him. The wells that have run dry, the knowledge tree that's poisoned that you heard of, that's the spider. You think that Nathaniel is the root of your problem. But the Gibbous Man is the one who started it all. And if you care for your stories and your stars and for the spirits and the fairies who live on this land, you'll let us do what we need to do."
And actually, I think Stone Eye at this point has an outburst, steps forward and goes,
"You cannot be considering this, Grimshay. They have not completed the Gesh. They will not complete the Gesh. Blood demands blood. Or have you forgotten our ways?"
So Tuck wants to use his new move, Deathless. When Stone Eye has that outburst.
Yeah, new move.
"You have been cursed with foreknowledge and your path through the realms..." Oh, God, we got to write this better.
Excuse me, I wrote this.
No, I augmented it and I made it absolutely incomprehensible.
Okay, I was wondering why it seemed weirder than the one that I wrote, but...
"You must do a standing 69 in order to get a plus one forward against
Abdul
your enemies."
Definitely wrote that.
This one is Abdul.
Okay. "You've been cursed with foreknowledge and your path through the realms of the yet-to-be has been illuminated. You know your end, and this knowledge echoes back through time. Your enemies can see death on you. When you enter a fight, knowing your death will not come, roll plus wisdom. On a hit, your foes are dismayed. Take plus one ongoing against them until the fight is over. On a 10 plus, your surety in your destination makes something about the now more clear. Ask a question from the Discern Realities list right now.
So this is the one, this uses wisdom.
Yeah, I guess so. Fuck.
All right.
Someone give me some good die. Jessica?
Oh yeah, the two pink ones.
Give me some of your they fucking luck. They are
blessed. Blessed die.
Okay, so the thing that this is like Tuck is basically scarier because he knows that he can't die in this situation.
Yeah.
So he's trying to tell Stone Eye to back the fuck off.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's 10.
Whoa.
Nice.
Fuck yeah.
Did you roll two sixes?
I rolled a 5 and a 6 and I have a negative one.
Okay. So you get in Stone Eye's face and tell him to fuck off.
Yeah. And he just, you know that thing that like bros do at bars where one of them gets mad and the other, they just get really close and yeah. They're like, they try and like, they're square off like dogs.
Yeah, totally.
So that's what Tuck does. He like gets in really close to Stone Eye. And he goes, back the fuck off.
And Stone Eye, you can tell that he is quote unquote dismayed in the fact that he doesn't back down, but he doesn't take a swing.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's dogging you back, basically.
Yeah.
Like you're just kind of pressed against each other.
Uh-huh.
Going, no, you fuck off. You get away from me.
Shut the fuck up, dude.
Fuck you.
And you get a question from the Discern Realities list.
Oh, hell yeah. I feel like I want to know what here is not what it appears to be.
You can tell by looking into his cold, tide-worn stone eyes that no matter what the council decides, he's coming for you.
Oh.
You've made an enemy for life.
Awesome.
But you have cowed him, and Grimshay and the rest of the council can continue the conversation.
Yeah, see, cowed him.
Oh, he's fucking boiling even more now. I'm not a sea cow. I'm an elephant. God damn it.
Okay, so were we talking about the parlay here is we will take down the Gibbous Man, but you have to give us more time.
Yeah. We are willing to uphold our end of the Gesh, your broken oath. The Gibbous Man is the man known as the Ranger King, and his blood, if he bleeds, will be spilt. We need more time. That is our oath.
That was a great line, man. That was a fucking sick ass line. All right, 2d6 plus charisma for the parlay.
11.
Whoa, nice.
So on a 10 plus on a parlay, I believe they accept your promise. Grimshay listens to this oath, this promise, this offer, and says, we need just a moment to confer, and turns back to the council. And at this consideration that the Gesh might be broken, Stone Eye at this point pushes Tuck away from him, turns to the edge of the cliff, and dives off.
Whoa.
And you hear him splash into the sea far below.
What a little baby.
Yeah, what a gigantic baby.
Loser bitch.
And if you just want to like basically wait, they go off to the side and they speak amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we see like time pass, like Billy's flicking rocks. Tuck is just, I don't know, whizzing off the side. About an hour passes.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
No snacks?
Yeah, no snacks.
Ugh.
I have granola. Do you want granola?
No, I'm just trying to make them feel bad.
Okay.
So this is the way you treat a fairy? I say that then.
And actually, the Willow's daughter, Villari, with like the long like willow strands in her hair, actually fearfully looks over her shoulder when she hears that.
Consider that, lady.
It's a good point. Somebody get him some food.
And then Grimshay returns to you. And by returns, I mean walks 12 feet. And says, word reached the council through the knowledge trees of what happened in Heartwood. The destruction of the old tree. Was that the Gibbous Man's lies? Or was that the truth?
That was true.
A necessary truth.
The Gibbous Man poisoned the old tree. We needed to plant a new one.
We accept your promise. But we need assurances. You have sworn a Gesh to us before. We will not ask you to do it again. But how do we know that you will, in fact, complete your quest?
You don't.
I mean, we could pinky promise.
And there's like a murmur goes through the council. You would have me swear a promise to you, fairy?
Well, yes, then we would both know.
And you can see he takes a steadying breath. And then his eyes resolve. And he kneels down reverently in front of you. And he extends both of his hands in front of him. I will swear.
You will swear that while we hunt the Gibbous Man, you do not harm Ving or Dathaniel. That no one from Hibernia harms them.
And you swear that you will complete your quest and free the people of Hibernia from their isolation.
I swear.
And he extends his pinky and shakes. And here on the Council Stone in Hibernia, this most ancient of places, that pinky promise can be felt in the air around you.
Ving gets a new rune.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a new scar.
It's like, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean when like the coin drops in the ocean and that that's what the promise is like.
Yeah, the camera is seen across the island, like across the island fairies are seen to emerge from their hiding places from their slumber.
An oath.
Mm-hmm.
And the druids of Hibernia raise their heads to the sky.
And Tug is like, so is Basara somewhere around here, or what's, is she still here?
Is she still here on this isolated island that no one leaves or goes to?
Is it? Yeah. I gave her a thing when I left.
Oh, yeah, no, she's actually gone. She went to college.
Okay, whatever. Yeah,
she's going to grad school. She said to say hi if she saw you again. Okay. The promise is sworn.
I want to go to the beach.
And we can follow the crew walking through Hibernia, through the village, down the trails to the beach.
I mean, if that's okay with you guys, I just want to go real quick.
Okay, yeah, we can go to the beach, Billy. It's fine.
Yeah.
I love going to the beach.
And as you walk through the village,
Ving's going to get some more Hibernia water. I use it a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
So can I get uses?
Three. Yeah.
Thank you. We'll say
three.
Nice.
And heads turn. As they said, stories of your deeds have reached this island and they are watching you pass. And it's weird for you guys because they are watching you pass like heroes.
Mm. Yeah, Billy. And Billy's not really he's veering off the trail a lot. He's like walking through bushes and stuff like that because he's greeting fairies as he goes.
Oh, like all the fairies that like got disturbed.
Isn't Barry here?
Yeah, Barry's somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Barry is watching from a bush in the forest like, I'm going to get them again. And you reach the beach where the Sunrunner docked all those weeks ago.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I'm just going to step away for just a second.
Are you going back to your little cave,
Billy? Yeah, but I don't want you to know where it is.
Okay. Where what is?
My... nowhere.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We don't really know what any. Ving, what's over there?
Oh, why? That is a California maple.
And as Tuck and Ving look away, we see Billy start padding off.
Yeah,
down
he's
the
scrambling
beach.
Over all the logs and stones. Yeah.
So we turn around and just watch him to make sure he's fine.
Don't look at me.
We're not staring right at you.
I'm carrying Finn's backpack as I'm running.
You stole his backpack?
Yeah, it's full of buns.
Yeah.
And we find ourselves in a tiny little cave by the sea.
Yeah, so Billy has to push the suitcase in, and then he squeezes himself into the opening, and no one's been in here, thank goodness. While he's in there, though, because he's like, I'm suspicious. I don't like the way that all the villagers looked at me. So he makes a little fairy ring. With his buns.
So fairy ring is one of the changeling's new moves that allows Billy to create fairy rings. Roll plus dexterity, and on a 7-9, the ring is unpassable but requires constant attention. And on a 10+, it will last until sunrise without worry. So go ahead and roll 2d6.
Got 9.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So your ring sprouts to life. What does it look like?
Well, Billy tried to make it with buns, but he's like, oh, that doesn't really work because they don't do anything.
The mold on the buns springs up.
So it's more like beach lichen that sprouts up and moss.
Yeah.
And puffs up like wherever he's running around. Mm-hmm. So he does that a couple times and he steps into his circle and pulls out the buns and then rips them apart and takes some of the pine cones out and shoves them under his little stack of things.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Do we get to know what these pine cones are about?
Yes, sure. They are some of the oldest stories.
Mm-hmm. Right, because these came off the knowledge tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they actually are like old books.
And he thinks these ones shouldn't have been there.
Oh,
like these are for the fairies only.
Oh, cool.
So he stole them for a reason, but maybe didn't know, but also did know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool if fairies have their own stories.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So one of them is the story of the first trade.
So cool.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
That's sick.
I hope it goes well.
It didn't. Yeah. I know.
All right, dragons. Here's my idea.
It was the first trade between a fairy and a person, and the fairy lost out on that trade.
Oh.
Yeah. It's sort of like a moral lesson, like why not to trust humans?
Mm.
Like you always need collateral or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
That's very cool.
And then, okay. So another one is related to the spider and the hummingbird. It's the last half of that story that like we didn't talk about really.
Mm.
So after spider wrapped up hummingbird, and like the reason hummingbird died is because hummingbird always has to be in flight to live.
Because it removed it's the core nature of her.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So it kills her because she is a spiritual entity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the eyes took her legs and walked away. But what spider didn't notice was like a feather dropped off of her, and that was like the fairy.
Whoa.
Mm. So I guess, and then Billy makes his mark or whatever and then emerges from his cave,
mm-hmm.
puts the little stone back on the hole that hides the entrance, and Tuck and Ving are just looking at a tree.
Yeah, I think it's like the sun set now.
Yeah.
Oh, was I in there a while?
You were in there for a while. Like some of the locals came out onto the beach. They started a fire. They started roasting a giant fish.
Wow.
It smells like shit.
Oh my God, who was that?
Whoa.
Oh no, that one's just a fish.
Don't worry, that's a normal fish. I asked him.
Okay, thank God.
Sorry it took so long. I didn't really realize I was in there forever.
In where?
What do you mean? Having a poo is where I was.
Whoa, that must have been an awesome poo to take so long.
Take 5 hours,
it
Billy.
It was very long. 5 hours? Oh my God.
So I think Grimshay actually asks, what will you do now?
We could also take a bit of time and spend the night here if we want.
Oh yeah,
maybe Gale's like...
I'm tired.
All you guys want to do is fly. So boring.
They gave me a huge fish.
Fish is for her.
Giant fish. That's great.
Yeah, get you. You
I'm
all
fat on fish. I can't fly.
You all come back to the beach, and Gale is like a bird, like choking back a huge fish.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Can we stay here tonight?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we can stay here, Gail.
Great. And she sits down on the ground and tucks her head into her wings.
Cute.
Anybody want to get in here? It's nice and cozy.
Stop looking
Tuck.
At
me. Just like old times, huh?
Stop talking so loud. Everybody can understand you now because of Ving's stupid thing.
And all, well, they're all druids.
I can leave you guys alone.
Stop it. Stop doing that. Everybody stop doing this.
And there is like a little... People are trying to engage with you, but not like to make it weird. They bring you food. They bring you drink. They welcome you to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go join them.
Yeah. And there are a number of druids, young and old, sitting around a fire, and they're all like staring wide eyed at Billy.
Is there something on my face?
No, you look totally fine to us. Don't worry. Do you need anything? I've actually been trying to pass my master's test, and I was wondering if you could maybe bless my test, or if there's any sort of boon that you could offer me.
Billy's like, what?
Oh, I understand. I'm sorry. I ask too much. Here, please. And he's handing you like fried bread. Here.
Well, now I kind of don't want it. Now I feel like you're just giving me the bread to get a favor.
No. Never. Here. And he hands you like a cup of cream. Please.
I don't allow cream.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me, please. Forgive me. What can I do?
Thing, they're trying to get me drunk over here.
Do not give him cream.
Don't give our kid cream. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Well, if you did, would you like me to give them tequila?
No, I don't think so. I don't know what Takarla is.
How old is this druid?
17,
18. Oh, you're just a small baby.
Yes, I am just a foolish child. I'd never meant to offend you. I'm so sorry.
He reminds me of Mears.
Oh, yeah. What's your name?
Cheers.
It's Liam.
Liam. Yeah, I'll bless your test, whatever.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Billy doesn't know what he's doing. He's just like,
give him a marble.
Yeah. Yeah. He takes his jar out and he's like, I mean, these are the most important things in the world to me.
We're like, both of us are like, whoa. You're giving away a marble?
And here, Liam.
Liam shakily extends his hand.
You get a marble.
And he actually feels answers flooding his brain. Oh.
He holds it up to the fire and it's glinting off the smooth glass.
If you get a lot of those, you can go to an all-you-can-eat breakfast buffet.
It's all-day breakfast. It's not all you can eat.
Huh? Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And he gets up from the fire and he rushes away excitedly with his marble. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you are able to mingle as you so choose. If there's anything that you want to accomplish here in Hibernia,
Billy starts handing out his marbles and inviting people to the breakfast buffet.
Whoa!
And you're invited, and you're invited.
You get to come. You can come.
And everyone that gets a marble is like, oh.
Ving and I are like, wow, he's sharing really well today. Like, Billy, you're doing great.
It's really
Thank
great
you.
Giveaways.
Billy also thumbs up.
Do I get more marbles for sharing?
I mean, no.
What?
We'll find a way.
You're going to get some marbles for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. More marbles. More marbles than Victor has.
Victor's not going to give up those marbles.
Oh, trying to take Victor's marbles away unwillingly?
Yeah, he bit Tuck's arm one time. Just came out of Victor's room bleeding. He's like, yeah, I tried to touch one of his marbles.
I wouldn't go in there for a little bit.
He's really mad. I locked the door. He's pretty mad.
I don't know what a hackle is, but I'm pretty sure they're up.
Ving is telling stories of the adventure and of the flying squirrels around the fire casting shapes and shadows with the fire.
Ooh.
Playing
out
like little theater bits.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
Tuck is like in front of like a bunch of kids and like showing them TLC and then just like being like, and then I smashed the coin and then the gibbous man was there.
And they're like, whoa, cool. No way.
Yeah. Look at his chest.
Yeah.
He's huge. This guy's fucking huge.
Oh yeah. And he's like, he's doing the thing where he's like, all right, anyone that beats me, I'll give you I'll give you coins or whatever.
Yeah. Coins.
Marbles? Marbles or whatever. And then he's like fake arm wrestling with all the kids and just being like, you beat me.
No. But every once in a while, a kid's got a look in his eye and Tuck's like, I gotta show him teach him a lesson.
You suck, kid.
Some kid named Jason.
Get out of here, Jason. Tell your mom I said hi.
Can Billy run off with Liam and his friends for a bit, who are also very nice, and he wants to tell them like fun stories about the land?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool.
You've gathered like Liam's definitely the oldest of these kids. You've gathered a bunch of like 8 to 14-year-olds who are just mystified by you.
Yeah, I show them like the cool runes on the cliff side.
Yeah.
And I show them like little bushes and like rocks and just like garbage and stuff like that and a seashell. And I'm like, these are all the fairies. Like, these are their names.
Whoa.
And Billy might not realize this, but decades from now, these kids will tell their children about the night they learned from a fairy.
Yeah.
On the beaches of Hibernia.
Ving notices, he looks around and Nathaniel's down the beach on like a little point by some giant rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And,
oh shit, this is where it happened.
Yeah.
Oh.
He sees that and he, just like, I'll be right back, guys. And just wants to walk down there and, doesn't really know. He doesn't feel close, but he feels something. There's a weird moment.
As you're standing there, he's gripping his walking stick. I had the opportunity to make it right. And I let you save me.
Bing puts his hand on his shoulder. Says, I forgive you. I hope you forgive me.
And you just stand there a while, looking at the water. And I think that's where we're going to end it for this week. I'm your Game Master, Sean O'Hara. Joining me as always, playing Tacoma Dome, the Barbarian, Abdulaziz.
So long.
Playing Ving, the Half-Elf Druid, Paul Oppers.
Take care.
Playing Fat Billy, the Halfling Thief, Jessica Tai.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you to Aaron Reed for our intro and outro music. If you would like to hear more of Aaron's original music, under the name ACR, I believe. You can find him at aaronreed.bandcamp.com. And if you want to hear all the music that he's produced for the show, written by Abdul and occasionally myself, you can find that at soundcloud.com. Thank you to all of our supporters around the world. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this show. If you would like to support Spout Lore and get access to a whole bunch of cool bonus content, you can find us at patreon.com/spoutlore or spoutlore.com/moneyplease, including the newer tier, the Piss Monster, with a slot still available. I'm playing in one of the Piss Monster games, and it's super super fun so far.
Pretty good.
What?
And yeah, I'm playing.
What?
Yeah, bro. And also the Wizard tier, a game run by me, which has another slot available. So if you want to learn more about those, patreon.com/spoutlore or spoutlore.com/moneyplease. The Spoutlore community Discord is also available. We've got patron-specific channels for streams and whatnot, but it is available to any and all lovers of Spoutlore. So you can find that linked on our social media, I believe.
On our website.
And on our website.
Yeah.
So come join us there, hang out.
It's worth it for the fan art alone.
The fan art is beautiful. The community is so wonderful. And we would love for you to be a part of it. And thank you most of all to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time.
And so ends the tale of adventures three, who tried the best they can. Though dumb and scared and lost they be, for time's abreast in revelry. And though our journey may be lying a conclusion, we will not leave you without a resolution. Return next week to hear some more whilst you commute or do your chores. And for you, I'd gladly